Welcome. My name is Daniel Serwer. I'm Vice President for Peace and Stability Operations here at the United States Institute of Peace, and it's an enormous pleasure to welcome Defense Minister Lazar Alanovsky of Macedonia, who has the singular distinction, even at his very young age, of having been a long-time proponent of Euro-Atlantic structures, of having pointed Macedonia in the direction of the West from very early on, and now has what I hope to him is an enormous satisfaction of leading a defense ministry that has, as he'll describe to us, has reformed enormously, has peacekeeping troops in a number of key places, and has done a great deal to establish Macedonia's claim to being a strong and committed partner in the Atlantic Alliance. Mr. Minister, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Dan Server. Thank you for your invitation to have this lecture here. It's my privilege and honor to be here to speaking with such a distinguished audience. You will excuse me that I first took the just a cup of coffee. We just finished with the lunch in the Pentagon, so it's always problem after the lunch how you will be with your organism and metabolism. So, as I mentioned, we are here from Thursday. We had very important meetings with the U.S. officials. But something what really mostly personally touched me, it was my visit to the Arlington Cemetery, especially because what I saw and what I felt there is that all those monuments and the graves are really touching. And I just reminded myself on my two grandfathers. One was Macedonian Orthodox, the another was Albanian Muslim, and they fought in the war, in the Second World War. First one was wounded, second one was captured and sent to concentration Nazi camp. I'm very pleased that he survived there, and he is still alive on his 89. And they fought together, shoulder to shoulder, for our values of liberty and freedom. It doesn't matter what they were in their ethnic origin, but it was the matter that when we speak about the values, the free people and the free nations always united. In that sense, my country, Republic of Macedonia, started its independence in 1991 for the first time. From its history, the nation was gathered in the Republic of Macedonia. We started the all this process end of the independence, end of building of the country, but also a democratic process of democracy, because we were before in some other regime. Fortunately, after all those strifes in 16-17 years, we are together in front of our alliance, our Euro-Atlantic family, the family that we belong, because we are European nation and we are full of the, and we have together with all those European nations the believers in the free and common values. So the Republic of Macedonia today is one emerging democracy, democracy that is a parliamentarian one, that parliamentarian democracy is functioning. We have the last results on the economic side, that is economy is blooming. It is booming. It's the first half of this year is 7% of growth. We never had it in all those years. And of course, we have introduced as a government many economic measures that we can just say that Macedonia is maybe the country in Europe with the lowest taxes, because we introduced the flat tax on 10%. Also, we made few also other measures in economy as free economic zones that we hope that we will encourage the foreign direct investment, something that really we lack in all those years. And of course, when we speak about Macedonia, you all know that it's multi-ethnic society, and we very much stick to this. It's a cornerstone of our society, of our democracy, and especially after 2001, we are building one through the Ohrid Framework Agreement, which was implemented in the Constitution. We are building a multi-ethnic democracy. I'm very glad that we can say that we are a success story and good example for many other multi-ethnic countries. Speaking about multi-ethnicity and also about the democratic values, we cannot speak if we not touching the case of decentralization, which is one of the crucial processes in every democratic society, because there is no democracy without decentralization. We just entered in the second phase of fiscal decentralization, so many of the municipalities with a mixed ethnic structure will get the full power on their responsibilities. And also, when we speak about implementation of the Ohrid Framework Agreement, we have made a huge progress in the last couple of years. All the governments in Macedonia have very much been committed to this process. This is essential for us. So we are happy today that we are not speaking on the top of our priorities or the biggest challenges for the country. The inter-ethnic relations are not. So the biggest maybe challenge is employment, because it's still so high. But the inter-ethnic relations are much smaller. And we are very, very pleased, and we are very for that, and we are very much encouraged, because we just saying that it's one society that can be very successful model. When we speak about our multi-ethnicity, it's our advantage, not a handicap, like it was, for example, in the 90s for many other nations. That experience give us maybe even more open view or position to what is happening in the region or internationally. So we are very much open society and nation. We have very much been promoters of the regional cooperation, not only with the Adriatic Charter partners as Croatia and Albania, but also with the new PFP countries when we speak from the frame of NATO, with Serbia, with Montenegro, and with Bosnia, and also with Kosovo. And also, I would just like to underline that what we are expecting in Bucharest in April 2008, it's a big historic step for Macedonia and for Macedonians. It's a civilizational achievement for those all those people, and Macedonia and Albania and Croatia. But at the end, this is the first phase of the integration of the whole region, because we believe and we will continue to work very hard until the whole region takes its place where it belongs, and that is the Europe, and that is NATO, because all the peoples in the region, finally after many centuries of destruction, have today same interests and goals. So that is the Euro-Atlantic integration, which is some magnet to moving us in all those reforms and transformations, which we are very, very pleased. Internationally also, and what will I want to also to touch as a Minister of Defense is the military. We have done a big transformation in the military from one territorial to one mobile and modern army in the last 3 years, but we already entered in the new transformation circle because we understand first the responsibilities, what are in front of us as ally, not as a candidate or as a partner. We just think that the way how we manage with our international responsibilities and the level of the management is so high that we can really be ally already or member of NATO. Our contribution in international operation is huge. In Afghanistan, we are present with a force protection company and very important for us, a joint medical Adriatic charter team, so together with Albanians and Croatians. In Iraq, we are also until now present with the Special Forces platoon, and from 10 days ago, we doubled the troop contribution in Iraq, and it will be also deployed one force protection platoon. We are also in Bosnia with a helicopter unit, some very deficitary capacity when we speak about what Macedonians do as a helicopter contribution, because only us and two more European countries are contributing in Bosnia with those capacities and the medical team. And a few months ago, our Macedonians UN, first UN mission in UNIFIL in Lebanon. And of course, just to underline once again, from 99 main logistic line and base for KFOR troops in Kosovo. So small Macedonia is contributing very much. It is appreciated very much. I just want to underline that this is not because we just feel that or we are pressed that we need to give some contribution, but because first of all we believe that it is our responsibility. Living in globalized world, we must share our responsibility, how much bigger is the country. Because why we are in all those crisis regions? Because we are building or helping those local people to build their own values, and the values are liberty and freedom. We are, because we are very much experienced from very, very short in the past, from the beginning of 90s, how much we needed support in building the new democracy. That's why we understand how the people throughout the world in the crisis region need also support to start the democracy. And of course, at the end, the roof of democracy in every country, in every society, must be built from the local people. We understand completely, but they must have our support, and we must be responsible, because living in 21st century means for me that we cannot just make any compromise with any form of tyranny or dictatorship. We are living in a global village where everything affects everything. That's why we are speaking about the globalization and global threats, and in general about the global type of nature of everything. And that's why Macedonians are through around the world. It doesn't matter that we are not such a big army, or we are not such a big nation, but we are very much big because from our heart, because we are true believers in all those common values. So I think for the introduction it's enough. We agreed just to say a couple of words, and after we'll take any questions. Please, thank you very much.
Yes, let's open the floor for questions. Ed, introduce yourself, please.
I don't know him.
Thank you. Edward Joseph with Johns Hopkins Studies. Lazar, very nice to see you.
Hello.
Here, and I can just say that the message that Lazar gives is the same one about multi-ethnicity and the need for Euro-Atlantic integration. It's the exact same message he was giving when he was with the Charter Atlantic Council well before he was minister. So it's nice to see you here and
so,
keeping the same,
sure,
the same important message now that you're the minister. I think probably the people, everyone in here, many knowledgeable people, know that Macedonia faces internal and external problems. You have political issues and ferocious, sometimes, political disputes in the Albanian side, also between the president and prime minister at times. There are some security incidents, not too overwhelming, but some that are worrying, occasionally on the northern border. And then you have these external issues, of course. Again, I'm sure everyone here knows there's the outstanding and seemingly quite difficult dispute with Greece over the name. And I'm pleased to see that USIP has put Republic of Macedonia here, but that doesn't...
We have done that since 1998, I point out.
Well done, Dan. That's to Dan's credit. But you know that that's obviously a very serious and from all appearances, quite intractable, it would appear, dispute and an obstacle to your NATO entry. So it would be good, maybe you might say a few words on that. And the other thing, of course, on the external side, Soren Jessen-Peterson here next to me, the Kosovo issue. And probably aside from Serbia, Macedonia is the country with the most directly affected by that situation. So maybe it would be good for people here to know the view from Macedonia. How do you see that, and how do you see the Russian role now? Because you mentioned that everyone in the region shares this view of integration to NATO, but unfortunately, we hear from Prime Minister Koštunica in Belgrade that he's not very interested in NATO integration, and we hear and see some disturbing developments in on Kosovo and in Bosnia as well. So maybe you might address that and how Macedonia sees Kosovo and Macedonia's interest in, for example, avoiding perhaps a partition of Kosovo. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think that's enough to turn right back to you.
and maybe
just that.
I see that after we will not have any question, because I think Ed has an excellent overview on everything inside and outside Macedonia, so okay. He just asked everything. I don't know what will be, because those are the biggest challenges. I agree completely with you. It's you're quite right. As young democracy, emerging one, we are not saying that we are ideal. We are still learning. We're in the learning process, and everybody is in this globalized world, because we are feeling the new processes, new phenomena in general. But for Macedonia, these are maybe the biggest challenges today, what you mentioned. So I'm not saying that everything is perfect. Democracy is just the system like it is. It's very hard to work, but it's very important that we are functional parliamentarian democracy. Parliament is working in full capacities. The major political parties are inside. They are arguing on many things. Last thing is, for example, we are in front of electing the new rule of the parliament. And also, the rule of after the second issue is that we are in front of electing the new interethnic committee with the new members, where the opposition will take the leadership, which is good, because I support the parliament is this body in one democracy that controls the government, and it's good that the main committees in the parliament were led by the opposition. So we agreed on that as a government and the major opposition parties. The form is now in details how we'll manage all those things. So in general, the democracy is working. We have some difficulties between the parties, but it's not such that they will endanger the processes, especially not the Euro-Atlantic integration, because it's a full consensus for this process. I just want to share with you that 91% of Macedonians support NATO, 95% support EU. So it's a huge support. And it's very good for me as a Minister of Defense to speak with this kind of support. Also, we have from the political side, it's very, very good. We pass all the decisions in the parliament, last decisions about NATO, even on the deployments, with no vote against from all the parties. So they recognize the processes and they recognize the priorities of the country. And this is also because all those bigger parties have experienced the process of the Euro-Atlantic integration, including the deployments and the missions. So this is also a big value, and it's a privilege and an advantage for me as a Minister of Defense, of course. And especially with 2.3 of the military budget of the GDP, we are very much supported and thankful from the side of the citizens and of the politics for what are our troops doing in Afghanistan and Iraq, but to come back to Macedonia. So it's nothing perfect. There are some, you mentioned the relation president, prime minister. Okay, maybe on some personal level, but when we speak about the main processes, I just want to repeat that they are not endangered. On the contrary. So we don't have internal problem, any other. Because also implementation of the Ohrid Framework Agreement is going quite well. The government in for this year budget tripled the budget for employment of the non-majority communities. And of course in the military we are also in the front run having almost projected number or projected composition of the national communities, which is in general 65% Macedonians, 25 Albanians and 10 other divided in Turks, Roma people, Serbs, Vlachs, Bosniaks and some others. So we are of those 35-34% non-Macedonians with the professional soldiers and NCOs on 30%. Only 5 years ago it was only 5%. And of course the officers will take some more time because it's a high educational process and everything. Our target is for 2013. So this is okay. Greece, our partner and ally, until now in all those processes of the Euro-Atlantic integration, when we get the candidate status for NATO and for EU, supported the Macedonian integration, and I believe strongly that they will continue to support, and we should maybe divide something which is on the civilizational agenda. This is a process, it's in the integration into the family. It's a much bigger process, not for Macedonia, but for the whole region, and much more benefits for the region, because we are speaking about widening the zone of stability, of prosperity, with the newcomers into the family, and something which is a dispute in the name, and which is more or less bilaterally. On the other hand, around 120 countries have recognized us under constitutional name, and I just want once again to thank to the President Bush, because yesterday, 3 years ago, he recognized Macedonia under constitution on 4th of November. This is a big date for all Macedonians. So, in general, with the Greece we have good relations, except the name. The Greece is the biggest foreign investor in Macedonia. We have many other cultural links and political links, not to mention military, because we are also in forefront. We have excellent relations with the ministry, personally me with the minister. I'm glad that he is re-elected. And we opened this year the Greek language laboratory in the army, and now is the second generation. Also, there are many activities that our armed forces are doing together. I just was last December in Athens, where our special forces with the Greek special forces were exercising the parachute course or something like that. So there is a lot of experience. And also in Afghanistan, we were together with the Greeks within the Greek hospital, the joint medical A3 team. So there are many benefits, and of course we are dealing with it because we are allies. And we hope that it will continue like that. And we just need to underline the not the differences, but similarities. And we have so much in common. First, we believe in the same values. Greece is a democratic state and with the young democratic leaders. And this is something that is more some legacy of their fathers or somehow. And unfortunately, now it's still hot issue on their internal political scene, and we would like to help somehow how much we can, not to be such as, But of course, you know, it's a basic, fundamental democratic right to name yourself like you want to name. And Kosovo, our position about Kosovo is also very clear. We support the Dahtisaari plan. We believe also that we lost too much time for having status quo from 1999 in Kosovo, where the responsibility, the most important thing in democracy is divided. We don't have responsibility. There are few levels. And if we want to build a society there, democratic one, European one, we must give the responsibility to the local people, to support them, but to give the responsibility to the local people. And we hope that the contact group and Troika will get to some position, but our position is very much in common with our partners in NATO and EU, and we would like to see the solution as soon as possible, because we see this as maybe last political clout on the in front of the Euro-Atlantic sun, because I remember it was there were similar rumors a year and a half ago when Montenegro went to referendum and after to independence. There were also rumors, mainly from Belgrade, that they cannot succeed and they are not capable, or I don't know. But what we see today, and I was this summer in Montenegro, it's a boom. It's booming. It's the roads are building. It's a big investments inside the Montenegro. Even I'm some jealous because it's 2-3 times bigger than in Macedonia, the FDIs. No, so it's tourism is also booming. So it's a real the society and the country on the right side, and that's why we are from our side as Macedonia supporting, because our mission will be to as I mentioned, who will as the others who were went in before us into the integrations as Bulgarians, as Romanians, to support the others who should come also, because we should build this society and build this democracy in the whole Europe. So we also think that Kosovo is capable of being a democratic society, multi-ethnic democratic society. We must underline this. We need to support them, but we need very fast to have some solution, because putting some principles of the past is not good for no one. That's why we are saying that the solution at the end must be democratic and must be visionary. Not to have some game on the people and the citizens, because they are citizens of Europe. And I agree with you that much more of the responsibility is coming to the European Union. We are waiting for the one voice of the EU, and I hope after together with America we'll build a one very Atlantic voice and solution.
Well, you've certainly hit a lot of its issues. Sorry, you first.
I wanted to ask similar things about Kosovo. My name is Marta Rebekic. I'm affiliated with the Center for International Security Studies at the University of Maryland. I was just wondering, what would be the... I know that Macedonia is not here. There are lots of players involved in Kosovo recognition, but I was just wondering, what solution would be best for stability of Macedonia? How do you see recognition of Kosovo, especially if it's done against agreement of Belgrade, contribute to stability of Macedonia? Because Macedonia, of course, you have Albanian minority. Of course, Macedonia is making lots of efforts, and of course, relationship between Albanians and Macedonians have not been that troubled in history as between the Serbs and Albanians. But still, Macedonia does have some problems with its Albanian minority, and so I was just wondering, how will this affect, what do you think the stability of Macedonia will
be? Also, thank you for the question. Also, just to answer, I think, the last question of Ed about the partition, we just our in consensus position of all the political factors in the country is that we are against any partition of Kosovo, because it will have a very negative effect on many countries. When we speak about Bosnia and Serbia and Montenegro and Macedonia, if we enter in this circle, it will be a devil's circle, and I don't think that this is a right solution. It is not a democratic one. So we believe that Kosovo must and Kosovo citizens must start and must build their own future. And this is clear. It will be much more clear after 5 years that this is Euro-Atlantic future for all. And the main thing, the maybe main question, even between the Pristina and Belgrade, or even with all the others, is who can build the democratic society in Kosovo? Do you believe that Belgrade can build democratic society in Kosovo and democratic values? Or they can be built from Pristina? And the one who will build all those values in which we all believe, they have the right to just lead the future for Kosovo. So it's not a way that you know, all the conflicts in the Balkans in 90s, we never had some solutions that two national leaders agreed on the both sides. It was always assistance from the international community, because they were not mature, and they produced much more problems than solutions. So I especially don't think that at the end the Pristina and Belgrade will agree. If we just let them to agree, they will agree on nothing, because they have very different positions. But our mission and our international community mission is to create one, as I mentioned, very democratic solution for the citizens of Kosovo.
Sorry.
Yeah, my name is Sean Peterson.
A pleasure.
It's very nice to see you here. As you may know, I served in both Macedonia on behalf of the EU and Kosovo on behalf of the UN. And one issue that always came up when I was in Skopje and when I was in Pristina was the border issue. I certainly am also aware, as you are, that there have been very good dialogue already between Pristina and Skopje on that issue. It was always my view that once Kosovo had clarity of status, the two countries would sit down and have no problems whatsoever in sorting that out. But I would still like to benefit from your presence if you have any sort of comments on that. I call it an issue because I don't think it is a problem.
Yeah, it's not.
But let us call it an issue.
It's a, yes. The border issue is also very important. In the meantime, Macedonian Ministry of Interior, especially about the last period, signed the agreement with KFOR troops on closer cooperation. The same did Serbian army with the KFOR, which is good, because we need to look very concentrated on what is happening on the borders. Any border in the world is not hermetically closed, so there are always some moves from one side to another. If we have some, and what we have noticed is not such bigger security threat, but it is mainly some smaller criminal groups that just move from one side to another. So this is an issue that is managed by the Ministry of Interior. Unfortunately, we had some casualties in the last period, but this is not something that is endangering the country. So we are working. We are doing our best together with KFOR troops, and we hope that we will decrease the level of movement, but we cannot just close the border. It's always, if you're speaking about the open border, it's always some problem, but it's not of some bigger it's not some bigger issue as you mentioned. It's an issue, not a problem.
Please.
Mitchell Kowalski, United Mexican.
Could you stand up and maybe speak out?
Okay. Mitchell Kowalski, United Mexican Diaspora. And there is this resolution currently in the House and Senate, House Resolution 356 and the Senate Resolution 300. And within both resolutions, they're advocating or spreading information that there's supposed to be some sort of book in the military academy in Macedonia, in Skopje, advocating a territorial aspirations mm-hmm. against their neighbors Bulgaria and Greece, if you could touch base on that. And then also regarding the interim agreement about the United Nations and Macedonia, and it's signed, Greece, both parties will not block the other parties. Entrance into international institutions, and today the Macedonian government, both president and prime minister, said that they will not compromise the name, and if Greece vetoes Macedonia's entrance into NATO, that they will start the discussions at the United Nations. If you would comment on that as well.
Okay, thank you. About the book, it was in the summer. I invited the Greek ambassador together with the American and the British and Slovenian, because Slovenia is a contact point embassy for Macedonia. All the ambassadors came. I was pleased to host them in the military museum and military academy. We went in all those institutions. Before that, we just because we know that we can make the situation more nervous, I decided to move some historic maps. You know, there are maps throughout the world of everything, but I just wanted to move, not to make the situation more nervous in the museum. So we went in the museum. Everything was fine, and after in the military academy with the dean and with all the and his staff. Also, when we speak about this book, it's some book of some professor. Also with those maps, but in essence, the main thing is that we moved this book from the program of the academy. So the book is not on the program of the students. Although that we are in some moratorium, we don't have we don't take new cadets because we have fulfilled some level of officers. We need to decrease around 200 officers must be decreased according to the present structure. So we don't have the last 4 years. We don't have new cadets, but there are all the other courses, and they that's why which is not where the where the book is not given in the program. But anyhow, just again, not to make some more nervous situation, I removed the book also from the program. And one more thing is that the book on the Macedonian and English language is a little bit different. It's there are not this kind of maps in the Macedonian edition, but never mind. We moved this book, but we cannot move or to say to the author that you must not publish this now, and this is the private property. Almost so, country from the institutional side have just moved all those maybe objects that can be treated in this or that direction. We just don't need it to make any hard situation. But what is to the author's right? It's to author's right. We cannot just capture him and not allow him to sell the book.
And then on the name issue and the question of NATO veto, the veto of Macedonia's membership.
I think that Greece is, as I said, a firm ally and the member country in the EU, and I said this is on the civilizational agenda. The name issue is bilateral issue, and we will continue maybe to speak on the issue, but cannot be and it, cannot be blocked the processes of the integration of Macedonia and the others. On the other hand, as I mentioned, is also and Greece has always proclaimed that their position is to just to have a peaceful and stabilized and progressive region, and I believe that they will vote also in that direction. That after having three countries inside the alliance, the zone of stability will be widened. So it's clear.
Okay, maybe I can just follow up for a moment and ask bluntly, does Macedonia have any territorial claim whatsoever on territory it does not today control?
It's very strange even for me to think in these terms, because we are maybe, this is a new world, new age, 21st century, especially for Europe. I said we are, if we are fighting for, we are fighting for values, not for territories, everywhere in the world, including the our neighbors. So it is not the way how we think on all those issues.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, just a couple of comments, then I've got one key question. You said that it usually took international. I'm speaking as a journalist and as an ethnic Serb. You said it took international intervention in all cases in the Balkans to solve the conflicts between the various sides, but I seem to recall that Serbia and Macedonia seemed to solve things quite peacefully between themselves without any international intervention.
It was not,
I was surprised that you would forget that, being Macedonia.
It was not a conflict.
No, but the separation was a separation.
It was different.
There was, as far as I know, no hostilities and no, not even any harsh words said.
It was a UN
peacekeeping. After. Happily invited for both sides. That's an important thing for a Macedonian defense minister to remember, I'd say. Number two, it's a pity to hear country after country from this region, newly created countries, mostly created by external intervention, announcing that the day that they celebrate the most is the day, not that they declared independence, but the day that the United States recognized their independence. That strikes me as a historian as a typical sign of a puppet state, that it's more important to you when the superpower recognizes you than when you declared your own independence. You made a comment about Koštunica, Prime Minister in Serbia, objecting to joining NATO, and we have, as Serbs, have pretty good reason, having been bombed by NATO, hospitals and schools, and children's centers, and so on. But we also have an aversion to serving as the new janissaries of a new overlord. We're not going to give our firstborn sons to a foreign empire to go and kill ragheads in Afghanistan. We think it's illogical, and it's against peace. But if you categorize the Albanian National Army, ANA, as a bunch of criminals who cross back and forth across the border, we also share that view, and we think that there's a basic criminal state being created in Kosovo without any problem from the authorities run by previously Mr. Peterson. The criminals run rampant, there are almost no arrests, there are no trials, and 40,000 cases pending with no convictions. I'd say when I spoke to one of Mr. Peterson's high-ranking deputies who said she was afraid for her life, that she might have her vehicle bombed by Albanian criminals, that perhaps you'd share the same problem that Serbia has with partition. And we're not talking about partition of Kosovo, we're talking about partition of Serbia here. So my question then is, if you accept the partition of Serbia so easily, would you have any objections if the Albanian western half of Macedonia democratically, by a referendum, supervised by all of these nice international observers, decided that they want to separate? Do you have any objection to that? If they do it democratically, by let's say 70% plus, if you're so happy to see Serbia partitioned, what would you say if Macedonia was going to be partitioned by a democratic vote, internationally supervised? I'll volunteer to monitor that supervision.
Okay. Thank you for your questions and comments. I must say that in the last years I haven't, you just reminded me how it was in the past time. with the spirit that was in 90s, dividing everyone with everyone, and the, everybody were is was guilty for to the another. And I just want to say that the time has changed dramatically, and this is for good for the whole region and for the whole Balkan. And of course that all the nations in the Balkans feel much more proud when they work for the integrations, not for the divisions. It was the spirit and the language that we have especially heard it from the Milosevic regime and after that. But fortunately, I know that I have many other colleagues and especially young intellectuals in Belgrade that they just think on the future of Serbia, not on the future of everybody else. And they just think that and they just want Serbia to be a very prosperous, very democratic country, to be part of the family, of the Euro-Atlantic family, like we want also to be. It's not that I just said our goal is to have the full integration of the whole region. So when I mentioned the conflicts and the solutions, I mentioned the conflicts. So you manipulated a few times with my speech. Macedonia and Serbia divided peacefully. But I will not now enter in the explanation how it was all peacefully with a huge army of GNA just went out of Macedonia. It's okay, but we didn't have the, from one side we didn't have the conflict, and then it was much more important to, because war has started, to secure other territories. And unfortunately, this kind of war, where Macedonians were having nothing of their interest, unfortunately, in Vukovar and in the many fields in Croatia, we have 50 casualties as Macedonia, and so we still don't know for what are they fighting. We're fighting for. Second issue, what you touched or you manipulated, is that I just mentioned that for us. We appreciate the decision of the American people and the president, and it for us is very important because the United States is a very strategic partner for Macedonia. Unfortunately, you know, Macedonia history is very much difficult, and I really don't want to enter in the history because we will always find some examples of division. But it is very important that the United States of America is supporting Macedonia from its independence. That's why we appreciate that. And also, I will also say that there is no any military unit or guerrilla on the territory of Macedonia. I said there are some criminal groups, but not the military units or some formations. If there are some, there is something as a military will act, but for now it is a responsibility of the border police, and they should act on the border like they think. If we see that there is a bigger security threat, we will of course react like a country, like independent country, as like, and of course as an ally together with our allies in KFOR. Thank you.
The question was, would you oppose the separation of the western part of the country? That was the question. They both democratically
you know,
separated. Could you answer?
It's not the same issue, because the we will enter again in the debate, and but debate will very much touch the some principles, because the what happened in 1999 was not because NATO wanted to bomb Serbia or because they just didn't like the regime, but because something is happening in Kosovo. And from 1999 until now, it's a dramatic change what is happening in in Kosovo.
So you think your Albanians would not vote to separate if you gave them the opportunity? Is that what you're telling
me? They have a peace agreement. They have a peace agreement.
I think we have to move on to what I mentioned.
You know, it's the time. I agree. You know, we have agreed on Kosovo that the three solutions cannot be be taken in some reality. We cannot go back for 99 position. We cannot divide Kosovo, and of course Kosovo cannot be united with some other part. So this is the position, and I don't think that if we take this kind of vote, Macedonian Albanians will vote, because their prosperity is in Republic of Macedonia.
I have a lot of people want to intervene now, and so I'm going to take two at a time. One here, and then you, Barry.
Yes, Mr. My name is William Ferrojaro. I'm a consultant on governance. A year ago, I had the opportunity to help train the Federal Commission on Free Access to Public Information in Macedonia and Skopje. So my questions go to this issue, the issue of security and governance. Are NATO's evaluations of the government's capacity for NATO membership, are those available to the public? Are the costs involved in the transformation of your military to NATO standards available to the public? And kind of a third question is, what have you done in your ministry to make your ministry more publicly available and accountable to your citizens?
Let me take Barry as well.
Barry Wood, Voice of America. About Greece and NATO, aren't you applying to join NATO as Spiro? I mean, I don't quite understand the name properly. And since Greece, your neighbor, is your biggest investor, who's responsible for there not being air service between Skopje and Athens? And finally, I just wonder if it wasn't provocative for the Macedonian government to recently rename the airport Alexander the Great. And were the Greeks informed that well in advance.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we are all day building this modern standards in the military. We have implemented a lot, especially in the military, and one of the main things and the main principles is that everything should be very transparent and open. We don't have anything to hide. All the documents, strategic ones, are on the website and are for public service, very much opened. Even that also we had the last calls for the new professional soldiers. We went outside, making some media campaign, explaining what is a military. Having also advertising the military, also when we speak about the cooperation with media is very, very high. They can enter almost everywhere. They were also with us in Afghanistan, in Iraq, just to see and just to ask the soldiers how they are. So in general sense, maybe this is bestly marked by the citizens, is that on the polls, army, comparing with the other institutions, judiciary, parliament, president, it's a high support. So it's a good and privilege really to, if there is something better, people will say. And of course we are sometimes I say for the military we are too open, but I'm not I'm supporting this process. Although journalists are always asking for any detail, but it's their job. Also, about some other question, or it was okay?
Are you affirmatively training your officers within the ministry to be more open to the public?
Yes, we have a center for communication, which is regional one. We have formed it. So we have trainings of our officers here, but also trainings of the other regional allies in this center. And also there are other forms of cooperation. Thank you. And speaking about, again, about our southern neighbor, I agree that the naming of the airport can be taken as provocative, in that sense that we said after we made those issues with the book and with the maps and all those things, because we saw that it's going in that way. We didn't have any intention to make provocation for Greece. We made it because we thought that our main airport should have one very important and very famous name, to be to airport to be more famous, even in the commercial sense, you know. Because if we named by some local Macedonian hero, nobody will will know who is where is the airport, you know. But okay, you know, I agree first that Alexander is a figure in the history of the humankind. We learned about Alexander and about his adventures and everything, but more or less it's a figure of the global. It's some global sense about Alexander the Great. So we are not going to enter now to speak. Even, you know, when we speak about even for Macedonia, I don't care if and I respect if some Greek is saying that he is Macedonian. If he is Macedonian, he feels Macedonian, Greek Macedonian, his own right. My right is to feel myself as Macedonian. In Bulgaria, also some people who are feeling as Macedonians, is they are also right. This is democracy. So we really don't have any some objection or some not we are not seeing if there is some who in Greece or in Bulgaria who are saying that they are also Macedonians. If they are Macedonians, it's okay. But we are also Macedonians. This is our right and it's our fundamental basic right to name our country. So this is in that sense we don't want to provocate anyone except not the neighbors. We are building good neighborly relations, and as I mentioned, unfortunately I'm really sorry that in the last period some differences were underlined, not some similarities, not some common values that we have, and we have so much with Greece and with all the others. Thank you.
I think Barry also asked whether you're not applying to NATO in the name of FIROM, so why is there a problem?
You know, okay, today even the Yugoslavia it's a past. So we can just joke that for me there is no such a big difference of having a name as former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia or former Ottoman province of Macedonia, you know? So we can, because the both are very past. So it's not the FIROM, but FIROM, you know, FIROM is... when Macedonians hear FIROM, this is assault. Because FIROM, it always reminds me of some aliens and something like that, you know, because I don't know what is FIROM, really. This is really assault for all of us. We agreed on this temporary name only because we had, as a young democracy, to find our role in the international field to be a member of United Nations. We agreed on that name with Greece, but only as a temporary name and not as some name that will change. And how you can change the name of the people, I don't know that, really.
Please.
Yes, my name is
Tom
Ellis. I'm a Greek journalist.
Please stand up. Stand up.
First of all, you mentioned the Greek defense ministry. Your presentation, can you elaborate on that? something good, so I'd like to hear that.
But you will not use in your political affairs?
What?
You will not use that in your political affairs to make the minister...
And a more substantive question. Do you support the UN mediators, Latvian Limits' suggestion, there's debate in the last few days, to use a slightly modified name for the country, like possibly New Macedonia, or Macedonia, something else? International relations, the Prime Minister said we cannot talk about that, but it's a suggestion by the mediator of the UN to internationally
Katimirin is mostly influenced by PASOK? Or? Ah, you're independent. Okay. But it's, you know, in NATO, it's an alliance, really, and this is a really big value for all of us to work together. And we are very much, and even, you know, the whole work is so many activities inside the alliance between the partners, between the allies. So it's always normal to have relations with all your colleagues, you know. So it's especially I appreciate very much the Minister Evangelos Meimarakis, who is, I think, very nice person, and he's leading the ministry quite well. And all those activities, what I mentioned, you must at the end sit and speak about the activities, what you have been done. We have on the military side bilateral plans with all the nations, including Greece. So, and it's good that every year, every another year, annually, we have more and more activities together. And especially as neighbors, we have so much also regional initiatives. For example, we were on the Southeastern Defense Minister in Kiev 14 days ago. We were there, are 10 ministers, 15 ministers. We all seated on the same table. We are speaking about building the same values. And, of course, we are going to cooperate with the minister, firstly, and after as some ministers. And I'm really satisfied with the cooperation with the Greek Ministry of Defense. And the second was?
Matthew Nimitz.
I cannot comment this, because I'm already all this week in the North America, before in Canada, and now here. So I know that in meantime the negotiations have happened at some points. But I need to go back first to see the other, and to just build our common position.
I had one here, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you were next.
Jeff Simon, National Defense University. Minister, I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned the importance of NATO and obviously the EU, although you're in the States and we're not in the EU in terms of the enlargement process. And frankly, the U.S. position is clearly at Bucharest in April to have three invitations go out. At least my read of other members of the alliance, because it is an alliance of 26, is that there's a lot of opposition to Albania and Macedonia, at least at the Bucharest summit. That's not to say that an invitation won't come. It's just that's just the state of play at the moment. The question is, and it's people like myself who deal with this issue. I know Macedonia has been in PFP since 1995 and joined MAP in 1999. If Croatia jumps ahead, so to speak, it's the easier one, if you will, and they joined PFP in 2000 and MAP in 2002. I guess the question is, if indeed an invitation is not forthcoming at Bucharest, what impact would that have on the support that you have? And what suggestions, if any, would you have in terms of how we could make this process credible? I mean, people talk about, should we have a regatta? In other words, invite, say to the three MAP members, yes, you'll get you're basically invited, but we expect the performance of certain things to be fulfilled over a period of time. I'm just wondering if invitations are not forthcoming at Bucharest in the way that we would like, What is the best way to maintain some semblance of stability at home? And do you have any suggestions for us in terms of how we can make that palatable?
Thank you for the question. Firstly, I really think that in all the progress that we have made, we deserve the invitation. I didn't hear it, or we are not hearing some, especially something that what at the beginning Ed mentioned, but in general, I said we are functional democracy, economy is moving, implementing multi-ethnic also democracy. Military reforms are going quite well. We have so much contribution to international operations. So I don't see some bigger gap in, let's say, of fulfilling the criteria, because NATO is performance-based organization. I'm saying that there is no perfect candidate. You cannot have, and no one was. But we are fulfilling the basic criteria for membership. Also as Atlantist now, not as a minister, I just want to underline that NATO and new NATO, we cannot think on new NATO without an enlargement. Enlargement has been the main characteristic of the new NATO. It will continue to be. Unfortunately, and we must think as Atlantists now about the future of the alliance, but also we must think on that fact that the last two summits we didn't have enlargement, and I don't think that we should also as Atlantists risk, although, you know, it's much more harder to speak when your country is involved. It will be much easier tomorrow for me to advocate for Montenegro and the others, even on the East, where I believe that NATO as alliance should also continue to build and to enlarge. But I think that we can, as I mentioned, we need to finish the job in Europe, especially in this part, in Western Balkans, and after to continue on East, because in general speaking, the biggest security challenges of this Asia our East, on Asia, and from other side there are other many young democracies who are accepting all those basic values. They just also need some to perform well for their democracies and to be part of the family and of the alliance. You know, when we were working before in the Atlantic Council, there are Association, Atlantic Treaty Association, it's with 40 National Atlantic Associations, so from North America until the Central Asia, and all those, I know and I believe that all those societies would like to be part of this great family. So I think in general that we are fulfilling the criteria. If we don't get the invitations, of course there will be some political repercussions, which is very normal. But we would not like to see this, because I said Macedonians are so committed, also as Albanians, as Croatians have worked very hard in the last years. It is a tremendous progress in those societies. You have always challenges and problems everywhere, but not that they endanger the processes. And of course, it's very important that we need to build the new reality in the region. And one big argument for that is that if we continue with enlargement, it will just make the region more stable and more prosperous.
Please.
Alex Oliveros with the American Link Institute. I just want to comment and just ask you a question. In Greece right now, the majority of public opinion among Greeks and also Greeks among the diaspora are moving towards, say, let's you know, urging Greece to veto your country's entrance into NATO and the EU. We call it democracy, it's the rule of the people. I know certain politicians in Greece are, you know, they're going to start, you know, the politicians are always talking good to each other. But you got to look at what's going on in Greece right now. Some party got in on his stands. A lot of politicians were elected out. People are feeling very frustrated that their government is not coming to the table, because in 1995, Greece ended its embargo against your country because you borrowed a cultural symbol from the Greek city of Thessaloniki and the constitutional and some, and you had to make changes. And there was an understanding between Greece and your country. Now, what happens tomorrow that, you know, say, you know, these politicians in the Greek parliament are facing huge pressure and, you know, the voice of the people, it's democracy, the majority of public opinion in Greece says, hey, you know, they're not willing to negotiate with the Greeks. We're trying to be friends with your country, with, you know, being the number one investing and trying to promote your nation. And some people are saying, you know what, you know, let's veto your country. What happens from there? I mean, can you comment on that? Because yes, I think this is a really big issue, and you should not just say, oh, Greece is going to allow us entry into the EU and NATO like it's nothing. Greece, you know, there's a lot of stakes with the Greeks. And of course, you know, the airport, Alexander the Great, is provocative. And Alexander the Great is not only a global figure, but he's a big figure in Greek history. He spoke Greek. His tomb is in Greece. His inscription is in Greek. And he spread Greek culture throughout. Even Iron Maiden, the famous metal band, talks about Alexander the Great spreading Hellenism. So please comment on this, because I think the Greek public opinion in Greece is getting fed up with this issue. Your government is becoming very arrogant on this issue and not negotiating with the Greeks on a mutual agreeable name. Can you comment on
that? But you know, first, the ancient Greek history is a very important part of the humankind history. We all accept the ancient Greek history. Not we, but the whole world. It's very important. We learn from this. The basis of the democracy is in this history or in this time. So that's why I mentioned it's you cannot authorize the figures, you know? And I think just on contrary, if someone wants to take, if I think that it's my national heroes, I will be proud of to take anyone else. So from the other side, we are not opposing negotiations. On contrary, we are very much stimulating any talk, any contact. We just the gentleman asked about the last negotiations. We are all the time offering, for example, a meeting between the prime ministers. It cannot be; it's still not accepted from the Greek side mainly. But we are not accusing about this. But it is not Macedonia who is just opposing any contacts. Really, it's on the contrary. We are always and we are open for any discussion, any contact. And we would like to have, for example, one high official meeting in the very fast future.
But what happens if tomorrow, say, there's a change and Greece decides... Well, you know, say tomorrow, like, you know, there's an unexpected turn. And Greece says, no, you're not getting into NATO. You've got to negotiate on the name. What's going to happen on this issue?
But you know, it's
first thing. Are you guys going to work with Greece to kind of do this, or are we going to have this another 10, 20 years?
You know, it's much more different here in the States than in Athens or in Skopje. People really live together, make business together. Especially in the business circles, the question is very, very low. And I don't think that... it can that the Greek citizens will vote for against Macedonia. Depends how you just offer your positions. But as I mentioned, the Greek politicians are democratic one, and they will also working in the family, in the alliance. When you sit with 26 allies, you must agree. And one of the main consensus, main principles in NATO is a consensus. And everything what I mentioned before on all those questions.
Well, you had hold off for a second. I do have a couple of others. Let me, please.
Nick Barbash, National Democratic Institute. Okay. You had mentioned before that one of the reasons that Macedonia has troops in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places is that it has experience as a young, multi-ethnic democracy, and that it has something to offer to help these other countries improve their young democracies. I was wondering if you could go into a little more detail about what sorts of things were learned from the Macedonia situation around the founding of Macedonia that could possibly be applied to places like Iraq.
Okay, we said that we are understanding the what is moving on in the on the global theater, and we entered very much, as I mentioned, accepting all those reasons that alliance in Afghanistan or the U.S.-led coalition entered in Iraq. Because I mentioned we cannot agree that in 21st century we should there should be any tyranny or I don't know, it's a humanitarian catastrophe or genocide, and building those values that we are speaking about and that we have experienced it only 15 years ago is the same similar matrix to what we should do in Afghanistan and Iraq, and this is the one of the main reasons why we are together with our partners. There are many examples that we can also deliver, but we are, you know, when the country was formed in 91, we needed, without such a big experience in democracy and all those things, we needed support, and it's obvious that we needed support to start the whole process of democratization, of transition, and of everything. So it's clear that we need to help now those people to build their own societies on a democratic level. And of course we are there with the military support help, but also the government is supporting and the other civilian contributions, because it's very obvious and clear that military has its own limits about the development and security. If you want to have long-term security, you must have development. There is no long-term security without development and securing the and building the values. So that's why it's very important, not only, for example, NATO in Afghanistan to work only on the military field, but also to many other international institutions to be involved to start this process of development and to build the new schools. I was very pleased when I was in Afghanistan. They told me that in the last 5 years the number of schools have increased for 5 times. Now you can imagine which kind of force is this. And education is a basic principle, basic value for any development. So there are many other forms how we can support, and we are doing how much we can from our side.
Are we in time troubles?
We're in time.
I think we're going to cut ourselves off here, Ed. I think we all appreciate, Mr. Minister, the openness, the willingness to engage in a serious dialogue that you've shown this afternoon, and I think we can all say that we wish your country the best and most rapid Euro-Atlantic integration possible.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.